from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Grisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, November 19th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A former Biddeford man has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for his role in the January 6 riots at the U.S. Capitol. Caitlin Bedayan has more.
According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, 45-year-old Christopher Maurer was sentenced to 50 months in prison after pleading guilty this summer to a felony charge of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers with a deadly or dangerous weapon during the January 6th U.S. Capitol breach. In addition, Maurer will serve 24 months of supervised release and has been ordered to pay $2,000 in restitution. Maurer was among the rioters on the lower west terrace of the U.S. Capitol building, the site of some of the most violent attacks against law enforcement that day. He grabbed onto a police riot shield and attempted to rip it away, helped another rioter use a chemical irritant from a stolen police-issued can of pepper spray, and threw stick-like objects at police officers, one of which struck a police officer in the helmet. He also joined a coordinated effort to push against the police line and repeatedly extended his middle fingers and shouted obscenities at officers. The FBI arrested Maurer in February 2023 in Maine. In the time since the riots, more than 1,561 people have been charged in nearly all 50 states for crimes related to the breach, including more than 590 people charged with assaulting or impeding law enforcement. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Maine Housing has opened a waiting list for low-income tenants facing eviction just 1 month after launching a new pilot program intended to help them. The Portland-based Quality Housing Coalition, which was hired to oversee the pilot, has received more than 1,400 applications so far. Executive Director Victoria Morales says the initial numbers are sobering and shows just how many families in all 16 counties are facing eviction. Households that have been accepted into the program receive a one-time payment to catch up on rent and rental assistance throughout the year.
We are relieving significant housing debt, both past and moving forward into the future for short term. And that will enable people to invest in the things that they need for themselves and their family to get stabilized.
So far, 500 landlords have accepted funds from the program and have agreed to end eviction proceedings against their tenants. The pilot program is paid for through $18 million in state funds. President-elect Donald Trump ran in large part on promises to deport millions of undocumented immigrants and severely limit immigration into the country, including through legal pathways. Now, as the new administration takes shape, immigrant rights groups in Maine are girding for sweeping policy changes that could put many foreign-born residents at risk. Ari Snyder reports.
Some of the actions Trump says he wants to take on his first day in office include ramping up a long-promised mass deportation. This week, Trump confirmed on social media he would declare a national emergency and seek to mobilize the military to carry out that plan. Legal protections for Haitian, Afghan, Ukrainian, and other immigrants could also be on the chopping block. Those actions would likely face legal challenges, but the threat is already rippling through some immigrant communities in Maine.
My goodness, sheer panic. That's what I've been just hearing, is just panic.
Mufalo Cheetham is the executive director of the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition. She says Maine immigrant communities are not a monolith, and any policy change will likely affect individuals differently based on their immigration status, time in the country, and other factors. Without knowing yet exactly which policies will be implemented, Cheetham says her group is preparing for a rapid barrage of changes, similar to what they experienced during the first Trump administration.
It was almost like policies were coming out nonstop, almost like a fire hose.
The starting place, she says, is making sure immigrants in Maine understand their legal rights. Other groups are taking a similar approach.
Despite threats of mass deportation, we do have a legal system and due process rights that must be enforced.
Sue Roche leads the Portland-based Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. She says a mass deportation effort would also face significant logistical hurdles because she says the U.S. has never deported more than 500,000 people in a given year.
The prospect of deporting 11 or 13 million people, just the logistics of that and having an infrastructure set up to do that is not really realistic at this time.
Roche says other restrictions could be put in place more quickly. Those include changes in border enforcement and to a longstanding program known as temporary protected status for people fleeing countries deemed too dangerous to return to. Some countries, including Honduras, have been eligible for TPS for decades.
So you have a generation of people who have been here living, working in our communities, who could potentially be at risk of losing status.
Still, some groups say day-to-day challenges, including healthcare and housing, overshadow longer-term political concerns for many immigrants in Maine.
More so than anything, we just keep getting the regular calls about housing crises, health needs, and resource navigation.
Crystal Cron leads Presente Maine, which works closely with Latin American immigrant communities. Cron says she hopes Trump's win will catalyze Maine Democrats, who are poised to maintain trifecta control in Augusta, to adopt state-level protections for immigrants. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
City councilors in Augusta are considering a syringe exchange buyback program to try to reduce litter. Councilor Kevin Judkins proposed the idea last week, comparing it to Maine's bottle redemption program. Fellow councilor Courtney Gary Allen says there's evidence that shows syringe exchange incentive programs are effective at reducing the numbers of improperly discarded syringes.
One of the best probably known is in Boston, where they have been doing this for a long time and have had very successful outcomes with getting syringes back into syringe exchanges.
Boston ended its program in June after the city ran out of American Rescue Plan Act funds. Portland City Councilors recently approved a year-long pilot program using opioid settlement funds. A new mental health and substance abuse center opened today, adjacent to one of the locations of the Lewiston shootings last fall. Maddie Smith has more.
Located next to Just-in-Time Recreation, the new center offers a variety of services, including primary care screenings, 24/7 crisis support, and walk-in treatment. It's operated by Sweetser, a behavioral health nonprofit. Jane Van Brommer, Sweetser's president, says the center can help people who aren't sure what services they need, but do know they need help.
You can think of this center as a one-stop shop for everything mental health and recovery related.
The Lewiston Center for Hope and Healing has the capacity to treat 700 patients and will open for walk-in treatment in December. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The Portland City Council has approved the creation of a climate action fund. The money will be used for projects that support the One Climate Future Initiative, a joint climate action and resiliency plan for the cities of Portland and South Portland. The plan's goals include reducing emissions by 80% by 2050 and running all municipal operations on 100% renewable energy by 2040. Troy Moon, the sustainability director for the city of Portland, says the funds will be used for projects that will help decarbonize city operations.
So, for instance, city buildings, there's a lot of work to do to, you know, transition city buildings to run on electric infrastructure as opposed to fossil fuel infrastructure to reduce emissions.
The city plans to use money from the sales of its renewable energy credits for the fund, which won't be operational until next July. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll hear from Maine's new Health and Human Services Commissioner. I'm Nicole Grisco. Thanks for listening.